Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
My name is Leo Brody. I'm the main practitioner, one of the practitioners today, and I'm joined by Wanda and Susan and Cindy and Joanne, whoever she is. So we're all here to support you in prayer, and that's what we do. That's what we're trained to do. We're actually licensed to do that. Can you believe that? We had to go through tests and everything. So we know how to pray. And so you can be confident that when you come to us, whether formally for a practitioner session or just like for a few minutes after a service or whenever, or when you put your prayer in the jar in the back or you post your prayer online, you're going to know that you have a certified, licensed person who has the authority to put your prayer request in. Now, here's the secret. You all actually have the authority because you're all people of God, and God supports us all. But we have special little, I don't know what it is. We have the training. Anyway, enough about us. Right now, I'm going to turn within and give the invocation for today's service. So settle into your comfy chairs or whatever the chair is. And know that that support, that chair symbolizes the support that Spirit is always giving you, always giving all of us. That support is ever present because the whole point of us being here is that we can learn to grow in heart and soul. We're here for spirit training, if you will. And we're always supported in that learning. We're supported with whatever we need to learn and grow. That is always there for us. All we need to do is know that that support is present for us, and we need to claim it. We need to be clear about what we want, and we claim it. I know that that is true for us now in the service, that blessings fall upon this service, that everyone who comes to this service will hear exactly what they need to hear and be able to say and be heard. So with that, I say, I'm so grateful, and so it is.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Abigail Shire, and my pronouns are she and her, and my ancestry is from Ireland, Germany, and the mysterious Prussia, which contains a lot of countries now. And I'm happy to be here in the fun, circuitous way that I came here. Has anybody here felt like there's a story that they were in that didn't belong to them? Oh, yes, there's a couple of hands raised. All right. Or perhaps a part of yourself where you felt like, this isn't true anymore. Oh, yes, more hands. Yes. All right, you can be honest and truthful. This is a place of truth and authenticity. Yes. So today is about becoming a new story. We had this month-long endeavor of crossing the threshold together. And part of a hero's journey is about getting a call to a new beginning. We started this new beginning together. And it's not just getting the call, but it's saying yes to the call. It's having all the doubts and the fears and the unknown that brings up the, what is it going to look like, or how's it going to be, and yet still being willing to cross the threshold and going into the new. And we've been embarking on that. Last weekend, we talked about being in gratitude, even when we might be embracing our friends or family members who have different belief systems or different ways of being than we do. Did anybody practice gratitude over the last week? I did. And today's about being the new story. being the new story. But the thing about being in the new story is that you have to become it now. You get to become it. You don't have to. You don't have to do anything, by the way. But you get to do whatever you want. So anytime you say, I have to, just reframe that and say, I get to. I have the opportunity to. I have the advantage to. I get to become the new story. Ernest Holmes said, we are not punished for our sins, but by them. Ernest Holmes was the founder of Centers for Spiritual Living, and he is one of the great historic teachers that I've learned so much from. We're not punished by our sins. We're not punished for our sins, but by them, meaning we suffer when we're out of alignment. That's kind of the new way of saying it. When I'm suffering, I am out of alignment. Am I paying attention? Do I notice when I'm suffering? The Buddhists were really great at knowing this very truth, because they were like, you know what? They're suffering. They're suffering all over the place, all over the world. Suffering happens, and you actually don't have to suffer. But you got to let go of your attachment. And I also say you get to let go of the old story. And the crazy thing about this is you can't let go of the old story if you're still telling it. I know. Ooh. There's a story about a guy named Raikou. He was in Japan, and Raikou was a perfectionist, and everything he made was perfect. And he made perfect pots, perfect pottery for over 30 years. And his master teacher came in and was looking at all of his perfect pottery, was looking at it, but there was something, it wasn't smiling. His master teacher was just looking at it, putting it down and then looking at it and putting it down. And he said, Master, what's wrong? And the master said, well, there's nothing wrong. They're all perfect. But they're not true. And so he takes a pot and he drops it and it shatters. And then he picks up all the pieces and he said, make a pot from this. And so Raikou goes back and he's trying to make the pot, and he's trying to make the pot perfect, because that's what he does, is he makes perfect pots. But he just can't make it perfect. He can't use the old technique that he used before in the new way of being. And so finally he surrenders. He surrenders this idea of making the perfect pot. And he makes a pot that he loves. And it's a little jagged on the edge, and all the pieces are kind of not exactly right. But he makes it with love, and it's a thing of beauty. And he brings it to his master, and his master takes it, and he smiles. He said, this pot is true art. And he puts it down, and he loves it. And isn't that true for us? We can't make the true pot of who we are unless we're willing to see all the broken parts and put it together into something new. I love to say, when things are falling apart, that's the precursor to everything falling together. So if something's falling apart in your life, or has been this year, I don't know what it's been about this year, but this has been a very transformative year for many people. I have more friends who got divorced, who didn't mean to, but retired. They weren't planning on it, but then they ended up retiring, lost their jobs, quit their jobs, moved. Anybody find that? I don't got a new minister. Yeah, I just thought I'd throw one in there that maybe everybody can identify with. But it's been a year of transformation, and even that is happening in our family, in our country. When things are falling apart, it also means they're falling together. And we get to become the new story. We get to speak the new story, be the new story. There's some interesting facts. I don't know if you've read Dr. Bruce Lipton. He's a cellular biologist, and he discovered that 95% of our daily lives are run by subconscious programming. 95%. That means 95% of what you're doing today, you did yesterday, and the day before, and the day before, and the day before. As a matter of fact, the subconscious programming was formed between when you were born and 7 years old. Most people are operating off of that system. We're operating from scripts written by people who loved us very much, but they had no idea who we are or who we are becoming. And they might have implanted some belief systems or habits or ways of being that aren't serving you now. If you've ever said the words, I'm not enough, or I don't have enough, or I have to do this alone, or you notice you're doing it alone, or people like me don't get to have that. People like me fill in the blank. I'm not creative enough. I'm not smart enough. All of those belief systems were very likely implanted in you between the ages 0 and 7 years old. And yet, somewhere in the background, they're still operating. There's still something that's creating an old story in your new life. And the way we get to transform those stories is to identify those scripts, those tapes, those belief systems, bring them to the surface and say, thank you for who I used to be. And now, this is the newness of who I am. It's something that we get to do every day. We get to be at a new choice point on who we're going to be. So what story about yourself isn't true anymore? And what would happen if you stopped telling it? I don't know about you, but that's where I start seeing my attachment to things, where I'm like clawing that old story. I'm like, no, I'm going to hang on to you. Come back here. I used to have a story about not being able to sing, because I had a teacher who told me I was off key. I was like a kid in a kid's chorus. And I think back, and I'm like, I was a kid in a kid's chorus. And for a while, I was telling this story. I used to laugh. And some of you might do this in the room, but whenever people were singing, I would say, oh, yeah, yeah, I don't sing because, you know, I'm off key. Or, yeah, I don't do that. Everybody would just cringe if they heard me sing, and I would make jokes about it. And I would tell, I just had this whole storyline that I made up to make fun of myself whenever we were singing. And I don't do that anymore. But I had to realize it was a story I took on when I was a kid, and then I just kept retelling it and retelling it, retelling it, retelling, retelling. So that way everybody knew what the story was. Until I didn't. Until I stopped. Now the story is I love my voice. I love to sing. And I sing, and it's very uncomfortable, but I sing in groups of people, and I still do it because I know it's stepping into a new way of being. Has anybody ever changed what they liked when they were growing up, like food-wise? Oh, yeah. I used to hate tomatoes. I know. My goodness. How did that happen? Now I'm like, why did I hate tomatoes? They were so good. But I did. I said, oh, I don't like tomatoes. Oh, that has tomato sauce. Ugh. Oh, marinara sauce. Ugh. And then we grew a garden. and we had these little cherry tomatoes. And Gina's like, you've got to try these. They're so good. And I ate it. And I'm like, that's not what a tomato tastes like. What's... We evolve. We change. And something as simple as that is easy, perhaps, to comprehend. Like, oh, yeah, okay, so my taste changed. Well, perhaps who you are has evolved. Who you are has evolved in this world. And you can take on a new story about yourself. And you could even, it's crazy, choose it. Who would you love to be? What newness can you claim? What would you like to put on top of yourself and say, this is who I am? Ernest Holmes said, he didn't just say, change your thinking, change your life. You might have heard that, change your thinking, change your life. He also said, the law is mind in action. That is the key. The law is mind in action. Now, this is a little bit of science of mind speak. For those of you who are new here, you're like, what the heck is she talking about? In our tradition, the law is the creative principle of the universe. It's the thing that creates, the aspect of the divine that's always creating, kind of like it's the law and it's the same for everybody, which means creation is happening for everybody all the time. And we have our own way of enacting the law. We speak it, we say it, but then we get to be in action. We get to be in alignment with what we speak and say. So if I want to be the law in action, I get to speak the truth, declare the truth, and then walk as if that is my truth. A lot of people can say, this is who I am, or this is what I want, or this is what I would love, but it isn't until you are walking in alignment with that truth. I'm a healthy, fit, vibrant, strong person, but then I don't go to the gym. It's great to say it, but are you stepping into that truth and being it? And that's the invitation at this time of year, is to look at what kind of story do we want to have? Who do we want to be together? Not just as a community, as a country, but also in your own lives, in your individual lives. Who can I be? What would I love? The Lakota people, who are indigenous to the Great Plains, they have a phrase called Metakwiasin. It translates as all my relations. And when they say that, they don't just mean like, you know, my Aunt Sharon, my Uncle Bob, all my relations. They mean the air, the rocks, the river, every person, every animal, all my relations are a part of me. And so when they move into hunting or gathering or in community spaces together, they say all my relations, understanding that every single action that they do has an effect on the whole. It's not just something they say, it's how they live. And that's the invitation I have for you today. It's not just saying something, it's how are you living? How are you being? We're entering into the holiday times. A lot of people do a lot of gift exchanges, gift giving. Are you thinking about what you are, how you're affecting the world? How are you purchasing? What kind of waste do you have? Are you being the contributor to the environment in a way that you say you are? All of the things that we do has an effect on people. What does it mean to you? Who are you being in it? I want to be a conscious person in a sometimes unconscious society. I want to be a conscious being in this world in every single one of my actions. I want to live responsibly and tread lightly on this earth and know that everything I do has an effect on everybody. There's a philosophy in India called Indra's net. And Indra's net is like every single person is like a little jewel on the spider web. And each little section of the spider web is like a hologram of the whole. And if you do a little shimmer in this place, the shimmer ripples across Indra's net. And that's what we are together, is we're shimmer in Indra's net. You called me to write a new story. I had a story I was writing about a life in Seattle, and that story is not my story anymore. That story is a stair step to this story of where I'm at now. And now I get to create something new. Now I get to reinvent myself in a way I've always wanted to be. And you're here with me for that. It's very exciting. So I'm going to do a little exercise. I want you to stand up if you're able. Stand up. I want you to take this on. New story activation time. All right, I want you to just take a deep breath in and then sigh out loudly. One more time. And third time's the charm. Feel your feet. Make sure you're comfortable. All right, and now I want you to bring an old story to mind that you're ready to let go of. An old story that you're ready to let go of. And I want you to imagine that this old story is like a heavy coat on your body. So I want you to either unzip that coat or unbutton that coat, and I want you to take it off and throw it onto the ground. Throw it down. Now, the beautiful thing is when you have an old story, you also have to create the new story. And you can create a story that's just one word. Maybe the word is creativity. Maybe it's love. Maybe it's connection. But find that word that replaces the old story. And now I want you to reach up into the sky, grab the infinite cloak and pull it down and put it on your body. And now you are the embodiment of the new story. And it's easy as that. Go ahead and have a seat. Feel free to share after service your new story of who you are, just so you can speak it into being. You might say, I am creativity, I am connection, I am love. Emily Cooey, who was a French philosopher in the 1920s, she said, every day, in every way, I'm getting better and better. Every day in every way, I'm getting better and better. And if you notice throughout this week that that story, that coat that you took off, if you notice it's like dragging on your leg, it's still there. I just want you to say thank you for reminding me of who I used to be. And I'm no longer that. And so it is. Let's pray. Today I remember that I can't be the old me while telling. I can't be the new me by telling the old story, and so I let those stories go. I surrender. I open. I allow. I know that the infinite everything, the great creator itself, is here present in and through and as me. It is the representation, the representation of who I choose to be in this very moment. And I choose to be a place of love, a place of connection, a place of healing, a place of song, a place of singing, a place of music. And I recognize and know that that laughter, that song, that music is a new song singing through me. Right here and right now. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the love. I'm grateful for the connection. I'm grateful for the embodiment. And I'm grateful to know that regardless of who I used to be, it has made me who I am today. And so I take that newness. I know that as I am the embodiment of it, I choose to be a conscious declaration of love, a conscious declaration of peace, a conscious declaration of a being who lives responsibly. I feel it in my body, in my life, in my relationships. I feel it in the song. I feel it in the movement. I feel it in the embodiment of the new. I'm grateful to know that it is already done in and through and as me right here and right now, and in and through and as each and every person that is here present in this moment. And so it is. Thank you very much.